everything is all right. Ain't God all right? Sometimes you feel trapped, just like the children of Israel down by the Red Sea. But just hold on, hold on, because God, he will deliver you. He'll part your Red Sea. He'll let you walk across on dry land. He'll put your enemy in the dark while you walk in the light. Ain't God all right? I tell you, he's all right because he's able. Oh, he's able to do anything but fail. So hold on. Fight on. Walk on in the name of Jesus. I hear some is saying weeping. Men do it for a night. But joy. I say joy. Joy. Joy comes in the morning. And this joy that I'm talking about, the world can't give it and the world can't take it away. The steps to peace in the path of life. I don't care what you're going through. Don't look at your problem. Put your focus on God, the one who's able to deliver. I'm trying to hush, but the Lord is good. And he's brought me from a long way. Sometimes I'm in pain, but that's all right. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can feel the pain. And God, all right, I'm going to keep on. Oh, well, shucks, I'm going to hush. I'm going to hush. I got to hush. Yes, Lord.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
Thank you. Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Open your Bible while you're standing to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9. Let me encourage you to pay very close attention to what Pastor is going to share with you today. I will tell you about our church by permission of the Holy Spirit, and I will tell you where we are in God's clock, so that you know also where we are going. I will not follow any man, any woman that I don't know where they're going. I will not board an airplane that I don't know their destination. You might end up somewhere you don't intend to go. So pay very close attention. I am wearing what we call a prophetic mantle, and what I share with you is straight from heaven. The book is 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse number 9. If you find it, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, but it is written, eyes hath not seen, ears have not heard, neither hath he entered into the hearts of men, the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to know you as our Savior. Thank you for provisions of life. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Holy Spirit, I pray for your anointing this morning. I pray that you will use me to be a blessing to my generation. I pray for every hearers in the house. Help our hearing, help our understanding, bless your people and heal the land. We thank you that we are blessed and we are highly favored. We thank you that sicknesses and disease will not know our address. Thank you that we are healed of every disease, every sickness, every infirmity. Glorify yourself in this house. Let your glory fill this place. We thank you for it. We receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you briefly on the subject titled, What's Next? Now we are 101 years old. Now what's next? Before I tell you what's next, I want to give you a snapshot of the history of this church. I don't want you to be a part of a church that you don't know about. Amen. This church was started in the year 1923. That means as of today, this church is 101 years old. In case you don't know, this church was started in a house the first pastor by the name Reverend Hall volunteered his house for this church to begin. Also, you need to know, 2 years later, that same pastor donated a piece of land for this church to build its first church. So the first church for this church that you are part of was built in 1925. You also need to know that that first church went through a lot of trouble. I'm laying the foundation so you will understand what's next. They went through a lot of trials. They went through a lot of challenges and tribulations. Then for the next 40 years, it was a time of struggle for them. Well, I can stop there and preach to you, because if you know anything about the Word of God, the number 40 is symbolic in the Word of God. During that 40 years, this church went through 7 different pastors. You also need to know the number 7 is symbolic in the Word of God. When I say the next 40 years was rough, the Bible called 40 years a time of testing. You also need to know, according to the Word of God, 40 years is a generation. So if you do the math, this church is in its 3rd generation. The number 40 is significant because, if you recall, the Israelites traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. You also need to know, ladies and gentlemen, that God destroyed the planet Earth with flood for 40 days. I'm trying to help you, church history. You also need to know, ladies and gentlemen, that when it comes to fasting, most significant fasting in the Word of God is done 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. Am I right about it? Moses fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. Elijah fasted 40 days. Ezekiel slept on his right hand for 40 nights to show the iniquity of his generation. The Bible says, in all of your getting, get understanding. The same thing is true about the number 7. I told you there were 7 pastors. That's a lot of pastors within 40 years of this church existence. The number 7 is also very significant in the Word of God. You will know that there are 7 days in a week. You will know there are 7 colors in a rainbow. Am I right about it? In case you don't believe the Bible, you ought to believe science. There are 7 continents in the whole world. There are 7 seas in the world. What am I trying to tell you? Numbers are very important. These following brothers in the Lord led this church during that time. Reverend Simon, Reverend Simmons, Reverend Smith, Reverend Todd, Reverend Wells, Reverend Johnson, Then there's another Smith by the name Reverend George Smith. All seven of them. Many times I will tell you, when you hear the history of this church, we're just hearing story. We don't know this biblical significance. That's why I say you got to pay attention. I've always told the Holy Spirit that he will release me one day to set the record straight. My brothers, my sisters, I want you to pay attention to this gentleman by the name Johnson. I never met him, but his role was significant for two reasons. Number one, he never got a salary for his work as pastor. Number two, he rebuilt the church I told you about earlier. It takes special anointing to build anything. By the year 1963, after they've been through that trying time, after they've been through a generation, then a brother by the name Reverend Bennett became their pastor in 1963. Then he introduced for the first time in this church what they call the law of tithing. Before then, what the church was doing is collecting dues. In all you're getting, get understanding. You cannot be a part of this church and be ignorant of the word of God. The Lord led that brother also to build another church, what we call the Baptist Street today. That building is still there. Through him also, the idea of revival, yearly revival, was introduced. Then, of course, after him come the pastor before me by the name Reverend Poynter. And the Lord led this brother to start a community ministry. This church began to feed people. This church began to clothe people. This church partnership with an organization called Shepherd Center. And then they were doing tutorial ministry, teaching students, kids coming out of school. Then the wife of that pastor started what we call newsletter. Why am I telling you this? If you don't know where we've been, you will not understand what we're going through right now. Amen. Then by permission of the Holy Spirit, yours truly became pastor in 1996. And just like those who are before me, you know, it's more easier when somebody had laid the foundation. A generation had passed. They've been through the rough ride. But the struggle is not over. By the help of the Lord, I'm now serving as the longest lasting pastor in the history of this church. Only God can do that. And through this leadership, we've seen so many ministries. Before, while the church was having 5-6 ministries, now we have more than 50 ministries. Before then, while we will have 1 or 2 people on the payroll, now we have about 20 people on payroll. Are you still here? Now we've done constructions. Transportation ministry came into the picture. Ladies and gentlemen, with the media, now this same church that started in our home is now a global ministry. I told you a few minutes ago that there are only 7 continents in the whole world. This church is featuring regularly in 3 of them. That's what God can do. Sometimes people ask me, what is my secret? Well, one obvious that I'm trying to share with you is that there are people who God has used to lay the foundation. Another secret of mine is the word of God. I came to this church, I said, honestly, you all can be Methodist or Baptist or Catholic or whatever you want. We're going to stick with the word of God. It is the word of God, the power of prayer, that has sustained this church. So noticeable, if you look at the whole sum total of the history of this church, you cannot but notice the grace of God. You cannot but notice that the people of this church were good people. They are not troublemakers. What you don't hear in the history I'm sharing with you is all this chaos, church breakup, people fighting the preacher, all those craziness. For 28 years, that's what I've been trying to pass across, the importance of unity, not just in this church, in the black community. As long as you're united, you will win. When you stay divided, you will lose. I told you before, I'm saying it again. Somebody needs to tell the truth. The power of unity helped this church tremendously. Another secret of our success is good leadership. Every one of those people contributed, participated, whether it's in using their home, whether it's in donating the land, whether it's in working with no salary, whether it's in commitment, sweat, and tears. They led this church. It takes people to lead. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, now we got to talk about what's next. I finally got to my summer. Now that you know where we've been, what's next? What's next for the church? But let me make it personal. What's next for you? What's next for your life? What's next for your family? If you have children, you ought to be asking the question, what's next for my children? What's next for the relationship I'm in right now? Amen. It's a simple subject, but the Lord is leading me to give you biblical insight to your future. What's next for your job? What's next for your business? Some pastors hearing me today, you need to know what's next for your ministry. My brothers, my sisters, somebody's here this morning needs to know what's next for your finances. Amen. So it's not just about the church. Actually, the church are the people, not the building. When I came to this country, I'm making a quick confession. I had a bad habit of watching television. I've always loved media ministry. And I have 2 programs that I fell in love with. One was Sanford and Son. Amen. And I still watch it, the reruns. But another time, another thing that I fell in love with is called daytime television. Those of you who are younger generation Z, you may not know this, but back then we have what we call soap operas. I love programs like General Hospital, Young and Restless, All My Children. Now you see why I'm good on television today. But my brothers, my sisters, I share that with you for you to know all of this program has one thing in common. When you watch it, they never end the program. They always leave you in suspense so you can come back to find out what's next. Now you see where I got my topic. You cannot go through life and not understand what's next. For me, as a man of God, for this church and the leadership of this church, I see a bright future. Amen. Open your mouth, shout amen for that. Amen. I see upcoming what we call a season of dominion. Amen. This is the third generation, and I'm privileged to be driving the sheep by permission of the Holy Spirit. I see a season of what? Dominion. If you want to know about that, read the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let's make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. That's my mandate. I do not come just to participate. The Lord God has anointed me to take dominion. If you listen to me, if you watch what I do, that's how I roll as your leader. That word dominion is explained in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. What does it mean to have dominion? He said, be fruitful. And you're a witness to that. From just a handful, now we are blessed. When the hundreds and thousands, that's what fruitfulness is all about. The Bible said, not only be fruitful, multiply. Make sure it's in your Bible. I just don't want your church to be fruitful. I want you to be fruitful. I just don't want your church to multiply. I want you to multiply. I just don't want the church to replenish the earth. I want you and your seed to replenish the earth. Guess what else God said? Subdue. You know what I'm asking you to do this morning? Follow me as I follow Christ. I heard Dr. King say, I've been on top of the mountain. And I've seen the promised land. Ladies and gentlemen, how do we get to that stage in our life? As a church, even as you as a person, I'm fixing to give you a very serious secret that you must embrace. The way you're going to get there, if you look at the history of this church, you must be willing to go through isolation. What did I say you have to do? If you're paying attention, this is not a season why many churches are going to be your friend. You're going to have a lot of critics. Don't be surprised if everybody don't support your program. Those of you in the music department, I'm giving you revelation knowledge. A million television ads will not do it. It is because of the mandate upon your life. And all you're getting, get understanding. When God gets ready to use a person seriously, first he will isolate you. God will separate you so that he can use you. Why will God isolate a church? I'm glad you asked. You just need to know, first and foremost, great names is contracted in isolation. The truth be told, right now, your church is going through that. Some people are just too blind to see. But God isolates people to prepare them. Can you handle the truth? You cannot be used by God accidentally. Anybody that God will use must be prepared. One songwriter said, I left my friends and kindred. Bound from the promised land, the grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand. There's a reason why you left your friends. You left your kindred. Peter said, Reverend, we have left everything to follow you. I'm trying to help somebody. Some of you minister, if you really want to go up, I'm showing you the secret to elevation. Some of you business owner, you better pay attention. Pastors, you don't need to call me anymore. Freely I receive, freely I'm giving. If you don't believe me, look at the life of David. David was anointed to be king. At the age of 15, he never became king until he's 30 years old. Guess what was happening? From the age 15 to age 30, somebody shout preparation. If you're going to represent God, God will make sure that you're prepared. In case you don't know, Jacob had wives. Jacob had children. But when he had an encounter with the angel of the Lord, he was alone. Trying to help you understand it. God is fixing to take this church beyond your imagination. Beyond my imagination. But we have to go through a season of isolation. There are certain encounters that you would never have in your life as long as you are surrounded by people. If you want divine encounter in your house, if you want divine encounter in your life, if you want divine encounter in your business, you must be familiar with the law of isolation. Saul, on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ. Am I still in the book? He was blinded. For 3 days, he was isolated. But notice how he came out. He went in as Saul. He came out as Paul. You cannot be isolated and come out the same. Good God Almighty. Trying to help somebody. I was nothing but a missionary Baptist preacher. But the Lord pulled me to the side and said, son of man, there's something bigger than you have known in all your life. It takes isolation for God to prepare you. Every great gift, every great man and woman in the Bible, guess what? They went through season of isolation. Every great church in the Bible, they went through not only period of persecution, but season of isolation. Every great nation, if you hear of any nation that is great, they've been through season of isolation. If you don't believe me, look at Israel.
Hey, that's it right there.
The Bible said they were a chosen nation. But guess what? They were isolated in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. The journey could have been accomplished few days. And it's not like they got lost. It was God who was leading them. God took the longest route so that he can prepare them. I'm trying to help somebody. And during that period of isolation, the Bible said they were able to eat angels' food. You call it manna. Go home and Google angel food. Isolation will enable you to eat what Gabriel eats, to eat what Michael eats. Your life will never be the same again. I'm trying to help somebody. Another reason why God will isolate you as a person, as a church, even your business sometimes, is because he wants to increase your capacity. The capacity of this church needs to be increased. You know, we pray for things, Reverend, but what we don't know is that you can only grow to your capacity. If you're praying for 5,000 members and you only have capacity for 500, even if God gives you 5,000, you will bring it back to 500 because that's your capacity. Some of you, the only reason why your ministry is still struggling, what is missing is you have no capacity. God will have to isolate you to increase your capacity so that when he bless you, you'll be able to handle it. Why will God isolate us? Because he wants to elevate us. Hey. Somebody shout elevation. Elevation. If you're going through isolation right now as a person, just like the church is, it is because God wants to elevate you. In short, Elevation is impossible without isolation. Apostle Paul was isolated for 3 years in the desert of Arabia. That's in your Bible. Somebody right now, maybe you're going through isolation on your job. Maybe you're going through isolation even in your own family. Sometimes you find yourself being isolated. Oh, I remember when I started, I got a truckload of friends. But the moment you say I do to the Lord, you'll be surprised. God will isolate you to elevate you. God will isolate you to prepare you. God will isolate you to increase your capacity. I just show you a picture of where we are. Now let me tell you, I have a few more minutes left. Let me tell you what you must do as a church. Also as a person, especially you preachers, you better pay attention. I'm not coming to your house. You have to listen. You got to be hungry. You got to thirst. And you shall be fed. One of the things that we need to do moving forward, somebody shout desire. You have to desire your next level. If you don't desire your next level, you are unqualified to have it. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, too many of us, we think the level we are in right now is enough. Ouch. I wish I have time to explain the word of God to you, because Peter saw some miracle, a little miracle. He said, oh, Lord, it's good for us to stay right here. I will build us 3 tents, one for you, one for John, one for me. Small mind. That is why I read to you the word of God that say eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard it, it's not been conceived in the hearts of men what God has in store for Zion Hill. Get out of the way. You got to desire. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It said, whatsoever you desire. When you pray, that's right, son. You believe it and you will receive. You don't qualify for next level that you don't desire. Not just for the church, but for your own life, for your own family. What you don't desire, you don't deserve. And what you criticize, you don't desire. Another thing that we need to do moving forward is called prayer. Somebody shout prayer. I don't have enough time to talk about it, but you need to know the reason why the gates were opening for Peter is because the church prayed. What we are doing right now is elementary. Somebody got to love you enough to tell the truth. Elementary. Nobody stays in elementary school forever. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? And pray and turn from their evil ways. God said, I will hear and I will heal your land. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against. In that statement, you see clearly that there is a gate of hell. In fact, let me be more practical. Every city has a gate of hell. You got to confront the gates in your city before the gates will be open. The reason why Peter was walking through the prison door and the doors were swinging wide open is because the church was praying. You want to know the secret for Jabez? Jabez prayed. And God will answer if we pray. God answered Jabez. The Bible says God enlarged his territory. In conclusion, somebody shout in conclusion. I'll preach the rest when I get to 11 o'clock. Apostle Paul said there are many doors that were open unto him. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. He said, but guess what? There were adversaries. The more you grow, the more player haters you're going to have. The more you grow as a church, the more envy and jealousy. Not just the church, even you. The more God begins to distinguish you, you run into people hating on you. The only way to deal with adversaries, prayer. Amen, somebody. Somebody shout, it's time to pray. Small doors require small prayers because small doors, small enemy. But big doors, you see how this thing works. Prayer is not an item on the program. It must be the habit of this church. Amen, somebody. Another thing we need to pay attention to as a church is revelation knowledge. This church has been hearing sermons for 101 years. And they are estimated 4 Sundays in a month, 12 months in a year. You do the math, multiply that by 101 years. That's a lot of sermon. But if you are hearing but you don't understand, you're just having a form of godliness. We need revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is what the Bible is talking about when it says, arise, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, Zion Hill, shine, Zion Hill, for thy light has come. That word light is revelation. You come to a place in your life where the light comes on. Then you begin to see yourself as God sees you. Then you make up your mind, I'm tired of hanging around flamingos. I'm tired of hanging around pigeons. I will move and fly like an eagle because God has given me an opportunity. Everybody stand to your feet. I'm out of time. I want us to pray for this church. Hallelujah. I want one deacon and one deaconess to come up here. A deacon and a deaconess. I need another microphone. And we're going to pray. I'm believing God that the word of God will manifest here. What is the word of God? Eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. It has not even been conceived. It's not. In other words, you're just warming up. It's not even been conceived in the hearts of men what God has in store for you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.